Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good morning, folks, and welcome to the new RealMentorsRadio.com. This is phenomenal. You know, we really pushed forward to make all this happen as fast as possible. And I did it right in the middle of Tom Hopp's book because I believe that this radio show has taken on a new life, a new vigor. You know, we just released the brand new mobile app, and we are seeing all kinds of downloads, 12,000 downloads in less than 72 hours. It is breaking records worldwide, and I believe it's because of the people that want to grow in their lives. You know, a lot of times we all slip up as leaders and talk about our followers. I don't really have any followers. I just have people that love life the way I do, who want to make a difference, and they realize that if we collaborate together, if we hang out together, that the sky's the limit. This weekend has been phenomenal. I hope it was for you. Here in less than a day, actually, a little over a day, tomorrow, my son, who I have not seen in about 10 years, will be hanging out, showing up. We're going to have some fun. He's going to hang out with his brother and the family, and it's just going to be an awesome time. The family's kind of coming back together. JT will be down on July 1st. Dalton is taking his family, going to New Jersey. I just love that. We got to have an adventure. But life is good, and I believe that life becomes good when we focus on transformation, when we focus on where we've got to go. And as Tom says in Chapter 12, when we practice. This is Time Out, Winning Strategies for a Bigger Game in Life by Tom Haupt. You can go to Tom, H-A-U-P as in Paul, T, TomHaupt.com. Learn more about Tom, his wonderful, wonderful business partner, life partner. Married his wife just this last fall and winter in Australia, Melissa Haupt. I tell you, it's a phenomenal deal. But let's dig in. This right here is going to be a powerful show today because of the chapter. Tom starts out and he says, do you know or do you know about it? Now think about it. Do you know it or do you know about it? Now here's what he's saying. What do these questions mean? What is the distinction? What is the difference? Isn't it true that billions of people know a lot about many different things? However, how many of these people truly know something because they have had an actual experience of it? Now, I pondered just that today as I was watching the dolphins play in the harbor. How many of us have experienced it? The Bible talks about how you've got to know in your heart, as a follower and a believer of Jesus Christ, that He is the only way to heaven, that He's the only begotten Son of God. Now, I thought about that, because, and I mean of the intensity of spiritual items. I don't care if it's Buddhism, if it's Scientology. I mean, those people that follow have it deep in their heart. Their faith, because of their personal experience, is unwavering. It's not about having it in the mind. See, I think that's what happens when you know it. When you know it, it's in the mind. But when you know about it is when it's in your heart. Tom writes this. I thought this was good. He said, taking action and allowing your body to have a physiological, emotional experience will create new evidence in life that I can, I am, and I will, as opposed to just knowing about something. I'm gonna get a little raw right now. I'm going to use sex. See, I believe when you get into a long-term relationship, you marry your bride, I believe that the more intimate you get throughout the years, the closer that you become at an emotional level, and it's because you're experiencing something that was created for a man and wife to enjoy. Now, that's, you know, that's me, and I'm not saying that I haven't screwed up in life. Just listen a second. Because when I think about what Tom's saying, that's the most intimate time. That's the most emotionally, physiologically empowering experience outside of looking down the barrel of a gun. I've done that too. Totally different euphoria, though, I'm going to tell you that. See, when you look at this, you start to realize there's something here. See, if we want to experience a transformation in our life, the only way to do that is to have that physiological, emotional experience. Not just the hoo-hoo. I mean, there's a lot of kids, and me being one of them, I'll go to a Sammy Hagar concert, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to experience it. But not at the core, emotional, heartfelt level that I experience a relationship with my wife, that I experience a relationship with my children, my grandchildren. See, think about this. We sit here and we read books. Every motivational radio show, speaker, upline, downline, manager, whoever, all the time is talking about you've got to experience this, you've got to read this book, listen to these CDs, watch this DVD. It's not about that. It's about experiencing it at a heartfelt, a gut level, if you will. See, that's when you know. That's when you start to say, I can and I will make a change. I will dig this so deep that nothing can stand in my way. And to do that, it takes practice, practice, practice. And here's why. Tommy talks about this in this chapter. He says it's kind of like having a limo driver. You jump into the back of the limo, and you tell the driver where to go. He just says, yes, sir, no sweat. Here we go. Off you run. Do you realize in the back? Now, I live at a beach. Spring break comes around every year. There are things that happen in the back of limo rides between everybody from college kids to married couples. And for the most part, the limo driver just doesn't give a rip. Because he has one thing, and that's to do what you tell him to do. Drive to the destination. Drive to the destination. Well, guess what? If you're in the back of that limo, and you decide to snort cocaine, that driver's just going to keep driving. He's got the window. He don't know. He don't care. You just told him to drive. If you're sitting back there crying, the limo driver's not going to care about how emotionally distraught you are. You're back there in the back having sex, whatever the case is. That limo driver just doesn't care. Guess what? The limo driver of your mind doesn't care either. He's just a yes sir, no sir kind of person. Oh, poor me. I'm just a dirt bag. Yes, sir. That's what your limo driver of your mind tells you. You're right, because you said it. So think about this. If you go through and you start saying, I can make a difference. I deserve to have the life that I dreamed of. See, it's not about this is what really freaks people out with me. It's not about the end result even. It's not even about the goal per se. It's about the action steps to get there. See, what good is writing down a cotton-picking goal? You know, I hate goal setting, I'll be honest. I don't write goals. Marine Corps taught me to have an objective, and then you just go fight for it. And I've debated this with great people, and I don't want to get off down a rabbit trail on this. But in this case here, listen to me. If you want to transform your life, I don't care how old you are, then you've got to set the objective. And the number one objective that you have to set is trying to dig as deep as you can into your heart to say, what was I created for? What is my ultimate purpose in life? And that becomes the objective. And the very first action step is to say, I'm going to go after that with all my vigor. And when you do that, and you mean it in your heart, and you go, 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 nothing, and I mean nothing, will hold you back. I remember it was 1997. I'm sitting around feeling sorry for myself. I just came back from a trip to Destin, as a matter of fact. I'd had two trips in 3 months. It was a beautiful time for us. I came back on the second trip. There's a certified letter in the mail. It says my services were no longer needed at the country club that I had run. Now, today that country club doesn't exist. They really didn't need my services. They sold that land for multiple millions of dollars, and it's a big shopping center. But I was devastated. What do you mean you don't need my services? I just spent all this money in Destin. But you know what happened? I knew where I was going. I knew what I wanted to accomplish. I knew there was an answer somewhere. I knew if I dug deep enough and hard enough, it would happen. The next month, I made $30,000 through my network marketing business. I realized, you know what? I don't need a job. I don't need somebody telling me I can't all the time. All I need to do is set the objective and go for it. But you got to practice that. And it doesn't mean it's always going to be great, because by 1999, all that money that we'd made through that year, we were in bankruptcy and Tessa was in surgery, and it was a crazy time. And that's a whole different radio show. But today, we live on the beach. We live a block off of the water. We've never missed a house payment. Food's always on the table. God always provides, not because we sit back and say, oh, please, God, help me, but because we're constantly acting. We know what the objective are, and we're constantly focused on that. We're going to move forward. There's 13 things that Tom talks about. I love the fact that you can tell he's not superstitious. He uses the word 13 all the time. I love that about him. Here's the first one. Number one, be a visionary of your life. You've got to dream big dreams, big goals, no matter what. It doesn't mean that you're always going to accomplish them all, but it does mean that you're going after them. You can never settle for less than what you've been created for. My favorite uncle in my whole life passed away a couple years ago. And I remember a specific, now I can't go into all the details of his life, but I'm going to tell you one specific item in his life, and it rips my heart out. And one of these days I'm going to sit down, we're going to be in heaven, I'm going to slap him and say, if you'd have just paid attention. And here's what happened. It was a wild and crazy night one night. Him and his crew were drunk as skunks. They had my older cousin in the car. And he decided he could make a 90-degree turn at a hellacious speed. The car flipped, man in the back's thrown, and dies. As far as my uncle's concerned, he killed an innocent man. Had that man been an enemy of his, if he had done something to the family, if he had been a gangster, it wouldn't have bothered my uncle at all. But instead, in his mind, he killed an innocent man. And because of that limiting belief that he had for the rest of his life, he did not follow through with the calling on his life. And God had called him to be a preacher. And instead, he ran from that. He ran over and over and over and over. Folks, you have to have big dreams. You have to be a visionary in your life. Because when you are, it doesn't matter what circumstances in life that you've gone through, how many times you've gotten yourself in trouble, doesn't matter. If you focus where you're supposed to be going, you will eventually hit it, or the good Lord's going to come back and it ain't going to matter, one of the two. It's all about the journey. Second thing, create a vision board. Now, you can do this with 3x5 cards. You can do this just on a piece of paper, a notebook, or whatever you want to do. My dad did this most of his life, and it's probably why I have this habit. He used to frustrate me. I'd go look for a book, and instead of finding a book, here's all these 3x5 cards that he'd have, or here's these 8.5, you know, by 11 notebooks where he's written all this stuff in it. He'd do it if he was doing woodworking, if he was doing lapidary, if it was a spiritual journey. It didn't cotton picking matter to him. He wrote it all down. You know, I still got one of these things laying around here. Got all his old secret codes in it he always wrote down. Always had a vision board, always writing something, always trying to stay in tune with what God had going on. Okay, you got to do the same thing. You've got to create this. You've got to know. You've constantly got to be looking. I have mine right here. I carry it with me. Little bitty leather case. I've got my core value. Here, I'll just pull it out. I wasn't going to do this, but here, I'll pull these out. I got my core values that I write down. I got down my spiritual gifts. I got down my personal creed. I have down my affirmations, the blessings God has given me. I don't know how many of those I have, a few. you know, the most important life decisions. I have five of them daily that I focus on. These are all right here. Plus, I have blank cards if I got to add some new stuff. Okay, this is my vision board. I carry it everywhere. You have to do this. It keeps it to your in your forefront. How can you focus on something? How can you have a vision if you can't even remember what it was? The third thing, you got to create the I am affirmation. Now I probably don't do it quite like that. And the reason that I don't is because I have this ego problem, and I run around telling everybody I am the greatest. So the Lord worked on me on that. I had to get rid of that. Instead, here's how I do mine. Okay, first of all, I made it a creed. It says I will work daily under the authority of my Lord. I will live my personal values so I can fulfill the mission my Lord has created for me. I will remember my Lord created me as a confident and incredibly focused leader who has priceless value to give to the world. Now, that's what I think Tom would call my affirmation statement. I just call it my personal creed. So I wasn't created down here to be a god. I was created to praise God and to go out and try to serve as many people as I can and help them fulfill their destiny in life. And by doing that, I would fulfill my destiny. I would fulfill my purpose, what God created me for. See, that's the overall key. That's what it is that we have to accomplish. See, that's what sets us apart, what makes us different. And I don't care if you call it an I am affirmation. I don't care if you call it your personal creed. You better daggum have something that you grab a hold of every doggone day, because you're going to go through life situations that are going to suck. And you're going to get a headache, and you're going to get a tummy ache, and you're going to think, why am I even going through this crap? And when you look at that and you realize I was created for a greater purpose. And you know what? Listen, not all the time is that positive. I'm going to use an example. There's this whacked out, freakish church out of Wichita. And all they do is go around to all kinds of memorial services telling people they're going to hell, that God hates gays, that God's doing this to them, yada, yada, yada. It's awful. If I didn't love the Lord the way I do, I'd just get on a bike, I'd go shoot these people. Now, they got their freedom of speech, and I understand all that, but man, you use some common sense. But here's what I'm getting at. They have an affirmation statement. They have a belief system. They honestly believe they're fulfilling God's mission in their life. This can be used. Everything that Tom Hopp teaches can be used for the positive or the negative. This isn't about trying to manipulate people into doing what you want them to do. It's about changing your life permanently for the good, and you need to remember that. That's the only way to make this thing happen. The fourth thing, carry goal cards. Now, goal is the word. It's common use. I understand it. I'm just in the military, and we always have objectives because objectives have outcomes. So I carry them constantly right here with me. I know what it is that I'm going to be doing. I know exactly where I'm going and what has to be done. My dad taught me a long time ago, man, don't put more than three or four things down a day that you're going to accomplish. You'll never accomplish anything. So I keep mine short per day. I've got five decisions. Those are my goal cards. Now, and people say, well, Troy, is that what Tom means? Probably not. But listen to what I'm about to tell you, because this is how I know that I'm going to be fulfilling everything else that happens in life. Number one is my relationships. My goal, per se, my objective every day, is to make sure that my relationships are deepened and that I'm building on them. Because if I build on my personal relationships, my professional life's going to grow also. My second objective every day is to make sure that I have developed my character, that my mom or my dad or my wife or my kids wouldn't be embarrassed about me because of decisions that I make or the lack thereof. One of my other objectives every day is to make sure that my attitude is right. You know what? Here's why I do that. Because every time that my dad had a bad attitude, then he would say I had a bad attitude. So then I'd go tell my mom she had a bad attitude, and then I'd get spanked. So I realize that I got to keep my attitude focused. Because if I keep my attitude focused, everybody's happy. Now, that's a little humor, but think about this. If your attitude sucks, you're not going to accomplish any goals in life. So that's one of my daily goals or one of my daily objectives is to make sure my attitude is where it needs to be. Number four is to make sure my values, I'm living that core deep-seated principle, the values that I have set. If I live my values, I succeed. If I don't live by my values, I will fail. And my fifth goal daily is to make sure that I'm growing personally. If I'm growing personally, then I'm growing in business. Everything revolves around those five daily, so you've got to carry your goal cards. Now, you may have yours a little deeper than that. You may be saying, okay, today I'm going to make $500. Okay, now I have all that stuff written down too. It's in an 8.5 binder, and I focus on that. Tom and I go through this on a weekly basis. But see, I believe you've got to start at the inside and work your way out. And if you're not fixed on the inside, you don't need to be worried about making any money. It isn't going to happen, not the way you want it to. You have to fix what's inside. You have to have that setting right there, and then, and only then, are you ready to take it to a professional level. Number five, you've got to display positive triggers, flashpoints, as I call them, in your life. Listen to what Tom writes here, because I can't do, this is priceless. A trigger device is usually a tangible item that brings back an inspired emotional feeling of pride, appreciation, love, or success. It might be a medal you've won in competition. It might be something somebody said to you. I have a lot of these in my life. They go all the way back to my childhood and move all the way forward. You know, one of the flashpoints, and Tom's probably just shaking his head when I do this, but here's one of my flashpoints. I'm like 7 or 8 years old. My mom and dad had started hanging out at church. We have a church picnic. It's over in a park in North Kansas City, and it's a football game that we're going to do. Now, my dad back then is first of all, he's built like a brick house. He's doing the union stuff and hanging out with some rebels and all that good stuff. I mean, he's just a stud. Okay, now, I'd say that no matter what, because you got to understand, I'm 7 or 8, and he's in his 20s. So we're playing football. He's on the other team. I'm in front of him. And I grab his legs, and I mean, the next thing I know, he's carrying me across the field. Because I grabbed his legs behind his knees, I stuck my head right underneath his crotch, and I'm going to take him down. And I did. He sat on my head. But he was carrying me when I came to. That flashpoint, that trigger mechanism, I have carried with me for the last 40 years. Because every time life sucks for me, every time it gets bad, two things happen. I remember my daddy carrying me. And then I picture what must be like for God. So I don't ever picture that I'm alone. I always picture that somebody's there, somebody's helping me. You got to have these trigger mechanisms. Now, I could list more and more, but that's one that right off the bat, I don't want to rabbit trail this because we got to get through these. The next is a narrated visualization, something that's recorded, something that you can listen to. You got to have this. This is how you can build off of yourself. This is how you sit there and say, it's worth it. You got to paint that picture. I remember I was, I don't know how old I was. Paige and I were probably 23, 24 years old. We still have this book. It was called our dream book, and we literally wrote down what our perfect day would be like if we lived at the beach, what our house would look like, how we would love each other, how we would make love, how our kids would be excited and happy. Did it happen that way? Absolutely not. But you know what? A lot of it's even better. We drive down the beach. She's written, I don't know how many successful romances, best-selling, everything. The kids. See, you gotta have it there. And we constantly would look back at it and say, yes, this is what it's about. You've got to eliminate. The next one is you've got to eliminate self-limiting words in your vocabulary. I have people all the time say, Troy, how did you and Paige make it through everything that you've shared in your life and the stupidity that you lived early on. I said, that was simple. We eliminated the word divorce from the vocabulary. And we put trigger words in our relationship. And listen, it's not easy, and we don't always get it right. But divorce is not an option. And if you don't have a plan B, I teach this to networkers all the time. If you eliminate the plan B, then you only have one plan, and that's the A plan, period. It doesn't mean it's not going to get tweaked. It doesn't mean that you're not going to change it sometimes. It doesn't mean that things aren't going to go this way and that way. What it means is that there is no backtrack. There is no, when you make the commitment, when you sign it in blood, when I said my vows, that's what I meant, then there's no way but forward. See, that's what happens when you eliminate the nasty words that we sometimes have. Another thing that we've done is we've put other words in our vocabulary to act as triggers to say, you need to shut up, idiot. And it's usually her saying, hey, you just threw a brick at me and it hurt. Oh, man, that wasn't my intent. I am sorry. You know, I didn't mean to do that. I apologize. You know, that, listen, this is not rocket science. This is what I love about this book that Tom wrote. This is so simple to understand. It's just hard to implement because that limo driver isn't any help. See, we got to eliminate the limo driver in our brain. We got to go to Proverbs. And Proverbs says that we make our plans, but God directs our path. And if you're present, if you're in there right now and you want transformation, then you have to start making the plans in the present. You've got to experience it. It's the only way to make it work. The next one is workshops and seminars. You have to. I have been going to the Catalyst Leadership Conference for 11 years. This will be my 12th year. It gets better and better every year. I have every DVD, CD, VHS, you name it, book. Some of the greatest men, women out there in every sector of life. I go to the Real Savvy Success Women Conference, not because I'm a woman, obviously. I love them. But because I want to learn from the greatest minds in direct selling. So I go and I listen to these ladies as they share their life experience. I go to speaking engagements so I can listen. I just got back from the DSA where I took in hours of information that I can disseminate and use to build. You have to go to workshops and seminars. Books and CDs. You need books and CDs constantly. Nowadays, you can tell Tom is a baby boomer and he writes this book. What you got to do is you got to get your iPad out or your iPod and you got to download this stuff. You got to have it with you. You got to crank. Every radio show we produce is on iTunes. You can go over there, just type in Troy Dooley. You can download hours and hours. Type in Tom Hopp. It'll show up. Okay? That's the name of the game. There are no Lone Rangers, as my friend John Maxwell says. You have to go out here and dig deep. You got to join a networking group of some kind. Tom says Toastmasters would be a good way for you to learn to speak and learn leadership. I agree. Put a life list together. What's your bucket list, so to speak? What is it you want to accomplish? And then you need to create a family, a personal, and a professional mission statement that you can use. And last but not least, and this is why I want to push this, is you need to be reading your Bible, you need to pray, you need to meditate. See, if every day, I start my day and I end my day with some prayers and chilling out a little bit, listening, not always talking. See, if you want to learn something from God, then you better do it just like you do in sales and shut your mouth and let Him talk, just like your clients. I want to give you guys something today. If you go to TomHaupt.com, HAUPT.com, TomHaupt.com, Tom's got some free downloads that will help you. It will start you on a journey to where you can learn more about where we're going with this so that your life can change for the better. Tomorrow, chapter 13, take the shot. It's going to be an awesome time. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow with us on RealMentorsRadio.com.